We've been coming here for quite some time. Many conversations, not really expressing our true feelings, playing games. But I'm here to put all my cards on the table to express to you how I really feel. Now that I've done so, the floor is yours.
Last lifetime I must have overdosed on your love, cause this time around I'm permanently tipsy. With your name on the tongue of my tip, can't even speak right, can't even sleep, and I'm missing your voice and your choice and thoughts. I guess I want to stop looking for intoxication. No need to inflate this drumming in my brain when I try to release this pain in my chest. I got to rest, I need to chill. But then I see you smile and all my hard work ain't worthwhile anymore. Just a festering sore and no amount of drinking milk is gonna calm it. Just drinking rum to block out some of your, summertime. Or at least I try. And at least a generation later I'm still trying to ease my soul.
On a magnificent Tuesday evening, how's everyone doing? This is Teddy Bear and welcome to LOTL, the comfort zone. Always bring you real artists and, more importantly, real music back to airwaves. And man, April, new music, new time of year, always therapeutic music. And speaking of therapeutic music, tonight's artist spotlight, the legendary, yes, with a capital L, the legendary Mr. Chris Jasper, as we debut his new single from the title track from his upcoming album, Share With Me, the follow-up from his 2014 album, The One. So on behalf of myself, the Teddy Bear, and of course, the Comfort Zone, it is my honor to welcome back to the zone the legendary Mr. Chris Jasper. Chris, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, fantastic, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, man, you know, it's always a pleasure. As soon as I found out you had some new music, I said, Tammy, get him.
Hell yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you, one of the things that just kind of boggled my mind a little bit is that you did such an exceptional job on the 2014 album, The One, and I said, okay, then, you know, we get somewhat greedy. We want more and more and more and more. High expectations on the upcoming new album. What can we expect collectively that's going to be entirely different with the new album coming up that's going to be different from The One?
Well, I think that the different things would be, I'm writing a couple of different types of songs on this album. You know, the quality is, I think it's going to be the same or even better. Because I don't know if you recently checked, but there's a thing I just put up as a special release. It's a song called America, for example. And it's like an anthem type of song that, you know, everyone can, you know, get involved in and you know, sing along with. And it's, you know, it's about, you know, America coming together, you know, as one country, and uniting as one country. So that's one kind of different song that's different from the last album. And there's some other things that you know, I'm kind of exploring too. But it's going to be, you know, I'm going to make it, you know, there's going to be some funk on there. There's some love songs, of course, you know, Share With Me being one. It's going to be like the other one, only, you know, maybe some different directions of songs.
Now, the songs you just touched upon, America,
yeah,
would it be considered Caravan of Love Part 2?
yeah, it's one of those songs that, you know, everybody can get into, especially people of, you know, who are Americans, you know.
Right.
Because it touches, you know, a lot of different areas. And it kind of reaches to everybody. It's for everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's one song that is different from the last one. But you know, in quality, it's like an anthem. So I'm really kind of expanding, you know, on my writing this time, because I wanted to touch on some other subjects too.
You know, what's interesting that you just brought up, because I wanted to touch on that. I want to actually take it a step further. How have you seen yourself progress or even get better as a songwriter over the last 15 years?
I've gone through a lot of, you know, I, like I said, I've written gospel. You know, that's one different thing for a songwriter, and you know, I've done four of those albums, and I've also done, you know, scriptural related songs on other albums too, and I always try to include those. But as a songwriter, I'm always trying to maybe if it's a love song, you know, say it a little differently, you know, like Share With Me. It's a little different, you know, way of talking about love and relationship, you know, that being connected with a person totally, you know, on a spiritual level, you know, as well. So I'm always trying to find a new way of expressing maybe something that's, you know, commonplace, but a new way of expressing it. And I think that's the challenge of songwriting, is to come up with different approaches.
You know, one of the things that I've always found so impressive with you as a songwriter, you have never been afraid to challenge yourself to go that extra level, that extra step, as far as being willing and being more open-minded to do more things musically. When I listened to the album, The One, you came from so many different directions, and it was incredible, but the song that had so much mass appeal was The One. And it gave an integral part and more insight as far as the relationship, the special relationship that you have with your wife. Now, yeah. With Miss Jasper, now with the new single, Share With Me, you said it comes from more of a spiritual relationship. When did you know that you had that kind of special relationship and bond with your wife?
You know, we dated for a while before we got married. And I think in that time, we dated for over two years before we got married. You know, a little over 2 years before we got married. And during that time, you know, you kind of realize, you know, that this is the person that I, you know, I'm connected with, you know, in every respect. And I think it does take time to realize that. I mean, you might have an initial attraction at first, but during the time that you're, you know, seeing each other and you're learning who, you know, each person is, I think that's the time when you realize it. And I think it was sometime maybe after the first year or so, I just really understood that, hey, you know, and this is a person I want to be with, you know, for the rest of my life. And it's just, I mean, everybody doesn't, you know, isn't blessed enough to find that, you know, and I realize that. But when you do find it, you understand it, and you know, you're very, very happy when you do find it.
And it's so very rare, especially not just in the music industry, but just in life in general.
Oh, yeah,
to find someone that you connect with, your yin to your yang, so to speak. How have you been able to maintain a balance in your life, you know, before you met Mrs. Jasper? Because spending so much time on the road, traveling, venues, traveling all over the world, performing and having different people coming at you, especially from the female perspective, how are you able to maintain a balance in your life leading to having that special relationship and connection with Mrs. Jasper?
Oh, I don't know. Well, before I met her, my expectations were not too high, you know. I told her when I first met her, I said, you know, I don't know about, you know, people sometimes. I said, you know, I kind of lost confidence, you know, and you know, if anybody had any sense, actually, you know, so that's where I was, you know. And when I met her, I was like, it was such a pleasant, you know, thing, a pleasant experience to finally meet someone, you know, who I could talk to and who understood me, and you know, I understood her, and to have a connection with, you know what I mean? That was just such a great thing, you know. But yeah, before that, I mean, I didn't have much hope for that's just how it was, man. I don't know. I didn't expect anything, you know.
And well, it's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, especially when you have someone that completes you and adds such balance to your life. We talk about having that someone that, as I said, balances out everything and being really supportive of your career, because your career can be very challenging, because at the end of the day, you're married to your music. Music is first and foremost who epitomizes who Chris Jasper is. How were you able to get to a point to have that kind of peace or have that kind of balance in your life? That's part one. And part two, how has it enhanced your songwriting and how has it enhanced you being a better musician?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, when you have peace of mind, which a relationship like mine will give you, you know, that makes everything easier, you know. There's nothing like having peace of mind. And
right.
People around you who love you, people you can trust, you know, and every day is a good experience, you know what I mean? And to write music under those circumstances is the best, you know? That's the best thing because your mind is free to create. You know,
right.
You don't worry about other things. You don't worry about stress. You don't have stress in your life. You know what I mean? It's so much better to write under that kind of situation. You know, and I see some people, you know, their lives are a mess, and I wonder how they do anything. You know, I mean, it's, you know, turmoil. There's you know, drama, all kinds of stuff happening. And I mean, how do you function under that? You know, so yeah, I think the more peace of mind you have, I think the better you can come. Like I said, I used to write a lot of songs before, but I write so much more now, you know. And that's what I'm saying, since I've been married. I've written, this is my 14th solo album that I'm working on, you know. And I've written, you know, I got married right before the Izzy Jazz Rising thing, you know, where I wrote Caravan of Love. Caravan of Love came after I was married, you know. I mean, the things I wrote after I was married are really amazing stuff. And I have to say, I attribute it to, like I said, that peace of mind. And of course, you know, my relationship with God, too. There's no substitute for that either, you know.
I want to step back a little bit and go delve a little bit deeper on the song America. Both of us are parents. And we both grew up in an era of music, not just music, but as far as social strife, where things were not really good, a culture for us as being, quote unquote, African-Americans. And we had so many of our forefathers fight for us to have opportunities to do what we want to do in today's society. And I wanted to ask you from this perspective, being a parent, also being a musician, to see the things that are taking place right now in today's society as far as political strife, where you have a certain person that's causing an upheaval or just basically bringing racism to the forefront of a campaign, and you kind of sit back, how does it make you feel as a parent to see the things that are going on today in 2016?
Well, today I find there's a lot of division in the country, basically, now. And it's more obvious because you've got more stations, you've got more, you've got the internet, you know. You have more ways of getting that divisiveness out there. And that's basically one reason I wrote the song, is because of what I was seeing going on. And you have to remember, you know, we're all in this together. You know, whether you agree with people or not, whether you disagree or agree, we are all Americans, and we have things in common that we all want, you know, to fulfill our lives. And sometimes with the divisiveness going on, we don't see the good things that we should be concentrating on and uniting around, you know. Sometimes those things get lost. That's one thing that Martin Luther King was trying to, this whole thing was about, was, okay, yeah, all right, there's some racism going on, but listen, there's a bigger picture we should be looking at. And that's what his whole theme was about, is coming together as a nation. We've got to live together, you know. We've got to, you know, go on as one nation, or else if we don't, we won't be a nation, you know. And that's what one of the lyrics in the song that I wrote says, you know, divided, we won't survive. Why can't we just unite? You know what I mean? I'm asking that question. And, you know, it goes on to say, together we can succeed. you know, and our freedom is guaranteed. So we've got to remember, you know, that, yeah, we're from different walks of life, we're from different races, sometimes different religions, but at the same time, there's things that we have in common. And the nation is blessed if we just, you know, come together and notice, look at each other, notice each other, you know, notice that we have common things in common. And that's kind of the basis and the thing I based the song on. And like I said, it's an anthem for everybody, and it's talking about things that are in common with us all. And that's what I say. I come from, you know, the standpoint of God's perspective with anything I write. And that's how I came with this song, is that God doesn't look at us as race. Matter of fact, race is not mentioned one time in the Bible, you know. That's something that man came up with. And if we look at it from God's perspective, you know, we can see things a lot clearer. And I think that's the problem, is everybody is throwing God out. And they say, oh, well, you know, my view is better. Or, oh, no, my view is better. No, my perspective is better than yours. Or my politics is better than yours. Well, what does God have to say about all this? You know, is anybody looking at it from his standpoint? You know, and that will usually set you straight if you look at it from God's standpoint. It will help you see everything in the proper perspective. You know what I mean? And that's how I write. And even if I write a love song, it's from God's point of view. You know, I'm not going to put anything that's negative in there. You know, we have enough negative as it is. And like I said, I'm not going to contribute to negativity. I'm going to bring, I hope, some answer, you know, how to resolve problems rather than to reiterate them, you know, and you know, beat everybody in the head with the negative, 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 negative. It's enough of that. And like I said, that's the perspective I write
from. Right, absolutely. I remember when you released a single called Keep Believing, and that blew me away because,
yeah.
I mean, you got to say, okay, Chris is really going all in right now. And it's like now we're going, taking it to another level where you're expanding and just say, look, like you said, we're all Americans. We have our differences, but at the same time, we're all God's children. And I think
right.
It comes down just to respect everyone's differences. Just because we're different does not make us love less. We can still love each other as long as we show respect for one another. Music, and you touched upon some music, and I want to go delve a little bit deeper as far as music. Being an independent artist and having complete, more importantly, complete creative control of what you put out, how important is it to you to have that kind of creative control? And do you think at any time, if a major, quote-unquote, just a handful of labels that are left right now in the industry, if a major label came calling to you and say, look, we want to sign you to a contract, would you be somewhat apprehensive to do that because you feel more comfortable remaining an independent artist?
Well, if they were, like, if they wanted to try to, say, like, get in between me and my creativity, that would be a problem. Because I've had so many years with that freedom, you know, and nothing can replace that, because there's so many things that I want to say and maybe address that, you know how labels are. They want to have a direction sometimes,
right?
And sometimes that conflicts, you know, with an artist. I know Prince had the same problem, you know. Prince wanted to do certain things, and, you know, Warner Brothers wanted to do something else. And sometimes that can get in the way. But it would depend on the deal, you know. That's what I learned a long time ago when I first got into this business. And it was an accountant, actually, that told me. he said, Chris, fall in love with the deal, not in what not in the product. And I always remember that, you know. So, if a major came to me, it would have to be a really special kind of deal, you know.
Absolutely. Now, I know you had a lot of opportunities to sit down and speak with your talented son, Michael, about music.
Michael,
and about the industry overall. I know, man, you have to kind of sit back with pride and see the progression that he's made. Because I remember when I had you first on, I can't believe it was 6 years. It was 6 years ago when I first had you on. And then the second time I had John Michael was on, and I'm looking, man, where he was and where he is at now, man. How do you feel being, I mean, just being a proud father to see how he has turned out and the progression that he has made musically?
Oh, it's amazing. It, even as a young man, I'm very, very proud of him. I mean, you know, he graduated, you know, from Fairfield University, which is a pretty, really good school up here in Connecticut, actually last spring. He's in law school now. You know, it's his first year. He's almost finished with his first year in law school. And he's also, you know, he helps, you know, with me doing the rhythm tracks on my songs, you know. Musically, he's working on new music. We're working on a film score together, you know, from a script that he wrote, you know. He sang background with my wife Margie and me on America. You know, he's really involved in what I'm doing, and it's nothing like working with your family, and it's so special because, you know, he's the baby son, you know, he's the youngest. And it's just amazing to see how he's grown, you know, because I don't know how to express it unless, you know, a person has kids and they watch them and they notice, you know, how they develop and how they grow. And he's really, really grown in a lot of ways, not only musically, but, you know, as a young man, you know.
You know, the man, there's so many things that are going on in my mind right now that I didn't have a chance to ask you and touch base with you before over the years. And I said, you know, I got Chris on this. A lot of things I want to ask you, man, not just about your music, but I want to ask you about collectively about the Isley Brothers, because a lot of us, me personally, that love you and that has followed you for years, and we look back with fondness, but we also look back with sadness, because for me, I'm like Linus with the blanket. I want more, and it seems to me that collectively, as a unit, that you talented gentlemen left so much out there, man, that didn't even get an opportunity to just musically to be for people to hear. Do you ever look back at that time and say what could have possibly been if things had just worked out in the correct manner?
So, sometimes I do think about that, especially when I hear some of the songs, you know, and that we recorded together. And, you know, it brings back memories of what was going on at the time, you know, either in the studio or outside the studio. And it's just too bad that, you know, it didn't turn out differently, I guess. I do think about that sometimes, but, you know, we, the three of us younger guys, we tried. We really did. We put in 120% of what we had, and it's just too bad that we couldn't get, you know, the other guys to kind of do the right thing, you know. And I do think about that. But when things are impossible, you know, to proceed in a certain way, you have no choice. And it's not something that we wanted to happen. You know, the three of us younger guys, we didn't want it to happen. But we had no choice. We had to form Icy Jazz Riser, you know. And I had to go on solo, you know, because of circumstances. You know, one thing I learned and in a big way is that sometimes, even though people are family, you can't control them. You know, and I know personally I felt responsible for making those records, you know, because I was in the studio the longest. I wrote the most songs. I put in, you know, all that I had, but I can't control other people. And that's the lesson I had to learn. No matter how much you feel about somebody, you know, their family, and all of that, you can't control them. And it's just too bad. That's kind of the things I think about sometimes when I hear the old song. I did all I could, you know, and all I can do now is do all I can with my music now.
I do, you know, because you sit back and you listen to what music, as far as natural organic music, what it used to mean and what it represented. And like you said, we hear a lot of uncontrollable noise in today's music. There's no substance, there's no meaning, it's nothing. You know, it's like James Brown said, you know, you're talking loud, it ain't saying nothing. And we're sorely missing that. And to hear your music and taking your music to the next level, man, is so incredible and it's so refreshing. But like, you know, we get selfish and we yearn for comfort. We yearn for things that we want to hear that meant something to us and it was so special to us. And you think back to what might have been and what should have been. And like you said, you can't control people. You know, you can love them to death, especially family. You can, Lord knows, you can love them to death. And no matter how much you try to talk to them and get them to understand, get them to see a bigger picture or the perspective, a lot of times they just don't. They don't want to listen. They don't want to listen, and you have to go on your way, man. But you know what? You had a successful and fantastic solo career. Now, I got to ask you, I know we haven't got another single yet, but can you give us an idea on how many tracks are going to be on the new album? Share with me.
Well, I think it's going to be at least 10, at least like the last one, at least that many. It might be more, but it's going to be at least 10 songs.
What has you most proud of the new album? And be more specific as far as the new single, Share With Me. What has you just gassed up about it?
Oh, man. I think the energy that's in it. You know what I mean? It's like every song has its own kind of burst of energy to it. Like I said, one, the America sounds like the anthem, you know, that it's like inspiring, you know. This love song has this energy, especially when it kicks in at the end, you know. It has a lot of expression to it and like pleading, you know, with your better half, you know, to share the life with you, you know. And then there's other songs that have their own energy to it, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what I'm excited about, because there's more energy. Like if you felt the energy from the one, you're gonna feel more from this one too, you know. That's what I think music, you know, when it's done well, has it kind of invigorates the listener, you know, like, oh yeah, okay, I can go with that, you know, and it touches something inside. And I think that's what I really am happy about what I'm creating now. You know, I'm also doing a cover of Billy Preston wrote the song "You're So Beautiful." You know, but I'm kind of redoing it in a way. Remember how we did like other covers before, and we kind of made it our own.
Right, kind of right. Way?
You know, I'm kind of doing that with that song, because
okay.
My wife really likes that song. You know. So I said, you know, well, maybe I'll do something with that, you know. And I'm kind of making it my own in that same kind of way, that approach that we, what I did with Summer Breeze and other, you know, Hello, It's Me. But, you know, that's when you have creative freedom, you can do stuff like that, you know what I mean? And when sometimes labels can get in the way of that kind of stuff, and I always never liked it when I heard that a label was trying to mess with an artist, especially a very, very creative artist, you know, because you don't know what they're going to... It's like a Barry Gordy had a really, really been adamant about not putting out what's going on, you know. I mean, that would have been really, really bad, because he didn't like it, you know what I mean? You know, he thought Marvin Gaye should be singing something else, you know. But can you imagine if he got in the way of that? You know, and that's what I mean about labels sometimes, you know, getting in the way of creativity. That's probably one of the greatest albums, you know, that was ever recorded. And you know, the executives weren't thrilled about it, you know. So you gotta let a creative person go, you know. You gotta, you know, Stevie Wonder, you know, stuff that they didn't want Stevie to record his own stuff at first. And I think it would have been a tragedy if they would have gotten in the way of that.
Remember you did an interview, it's been like 3 years ago. And that was the thing, one of the things that you really was, I mean, really just on about the creativity, having the ability to be creative, not being stifled by the love, by the machine, you know, by the not just by the machine, but just by the label in general, because they want you to be a puppet, because they're looking at it from a monetary standpoint instead of allowing the artist to create what he or she needs to do. And I think that's one of the great things about being an independent artist, because you can do what you want to do. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're vibing with at that time, you can do it and not worried about what the label thinks when you have that kind of level of control. And speaking of control, far be it for me to stop the audience from hearing the new hit single, of course, from the one and only Mr. Chris Jasper. Share with me the title track from the upcoming album here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. Play iTunes and also on CDBaby.com. And you can also purchase, actually, the single on Facebook. That's on Chris's Facebook music page. That's at facebook.com/Chris H. Chris.H.Jasper. Also on Twitter, you can catch up with him on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/Gold City Music, and also on goldcitymusic.com, and of course the official website. That's at www.chrisjasper.com. Chris, you know it's always an honor for me to have you on the show, man. You know I love you and support your music, man. And you know, every time you put out something, hey, we got to get you over to debut it here first. When can we expect the new album, the release of the new album?
Oh, I'm looking sometime in midsummer. You know, sometime in midsummer we should drop it out. I can't say exactly when yet, because I'm still working on finishing off some tracks. So I guess midsummer would be the best I could give you right now.
When you know when the next track is ready, send it over, and you know we will definitely debut it here first. And I must ask you before we let you leave, if Chris Jasper could get in a time machine and go back 20 years, what would the Chris Jasper of today tell the Chris Jasper 20 years ago? What would you say to him?
Wow. I guess I would say, listen to your instincts. Listen to your inner voice, because it's telling you the truth. You know, sometimes we don't listen to it, and it gets us in trouble. You know, whenever I got in trouble is when I didn't listen to my inner voice. You know, that's when I got into trouble, and that's what this Chris Jasper would tell that one. Listen, son, listen.
Have that Joe Clark mentality. Listen.
That's right. Listen up, son.
Well, hey, like you said before, man, it's all about the journey. You know, that's the only way we live, is to experience life. Has made you a phenomenal person, a phenomenal musician, a phenomenal parent, and a phenomenal husband, man. And I'm glad to say, I want to thank you so much for supporting me, man. Like I said, to a lot of listeners, when I first started this show, almost 7 years ago, the first person that I asked to come on here was Chris. And it blew my mind that he accepted. Because I'm like, wait a minute, this is Chris Jasper. You know, this is the cat that I grew up listening to. This is when I had my turn, and I'm going back. I'm going back, but I love this guy. I love him to death, man. And man, it is such an honor for me to, every time that we've asked you to be on and play your music and debut your music and also get out there and promote it, it's been an honor for me, where you always said yes. And I really, truly appreciate that, man. I really, truly do.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, man. And, you know, like I said, music is a wonderful thing. If people hear it, you know what I mean? People have to hear it. And people like you, you know, you play the stuff, and, you know, I love you guys for doing so. So, you know, it's a mutual thing, man.
Thank you so much, man. And please give my regards to your lovely family, okay?
I certainly will.
All right. God
bless. Take care, my friend.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. The legendary Mr. Chris Jasper here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. My goodness, man. It just shows you, when you believe in yourself, you can achieve anything. And it's speaking of achieving, is it okay if we kind of turn back the clock, go to the 2014 hit CD, Chris Jasper, the one, here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.
That I want. Oh,